We've been in SALT, which is salt. I'm going to recap you a little bit, a smidge from last week. Recapping is one thing. It's a marketing psychology to it. It's repetition priming. You know why they repetition prime you? So if you repeat something frequently, you'll remember it. If you repeat something frequently, you remember it. The problem is I've heard so many awesome things from God and messages in my life, and I was like, whoa, I'll never forget that. You know, and 2 weeks later, I'm not even applying it. How about next week? I'm not even applying it where I read what I'm going to teach you today. I didn't apply it last night until a blackout. Yeah, pastor's a little thick. Sometimes pastor's a little thick. I'll tell you. But it's important to have repetition priming. So I have our acronym, I think, up as a slide today to remind us what it stands for. I'm gonna be meeting you up, Jess. Your fingers will be swollen. Okay. Do you have it? Start alternative living today. Start alternative living today. First, did anyone start anything last week? I mean, this past week. I'm not talking about starting fights. I'm talking about, did you start anything? I got a few text messages. I started some stuff. And I'm so proud of you. Now it's time to keep going. I started eating better. And I started walking. I got 3 or 4 days in. But I need to get 7 days in. I started, but I got to keep going, right? And if you started something, I'm praying you keep going, keeps going. Because it's important, right? Did you start anything maybe this week that God asked you to? Not like I started some stuff that he didn't ask me to. Anybody else start stuff he didn't ask you to? Like, man, that was a bigger project than I thought. That was a lot of work. Or, man, why did that go so well? Or, how come I'm so grumpy right now? Just me, huh? Yeah. So I started stuff that I shouldn't have started. Yeah, Andrew, I'm not looking over there. You know, he's like, give me the nod. Like, I know you, Pastor. But I spoke a smidge about the properties of salt. And I want to talk about a smidge. I guess you don't know what a smidgen is. I had an Irish grandmother, and a smidgen is a little bit more than a pinch. A smidgen, you know, like, how much, Grandma, how much you put in that potato soup? A smidgen. What? Where's your smidgen spoon? Ha, 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 smidgen. So I'm just give you a little bit, a little bit, okay? Salt symbolizes purity, flavor, value, preservation, and prevention of erosion. Say salt. Let's dig into our recap scripture, Mark 9:49. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good and useful. But if salt has lost its saltiness, its purpose, how will it make it salty? Have salt within yourselves continually. Have salt within yourselves continually. Have salt within yourselves continuously. Have salt within yourselves continuously. You know how you get salt within yourselves continuously? You continuously put it in. Don't come Sunday morning and think you're going to have salt continuously. Yes, that's salt one day a week. It's time to salt yourself continuously. It's not this easy. Like, you could get by before with a little salt. I got enough salt that, you know, no one's trodden on me. But time to have more salt. Have salt within yourself continually and be at peace with one another. And be at peace with one another. I'm going to pull out some of my Elmira hood, right? Some upstate New York hood language. Say this. I'm a start that yo. I'm going to start that yo. I'm going to start that. You know, I was like, Dr. Sean, please. But today is brought to you by the letter A. Alternative. Today is explained. Alternative is being the other option, God's option. It's you being the other option, the alternative. Be someone who lives by God's heart. Be someone who lives by God's standards. Be someone who lives by God's opinions / commands. See, let's no longer live by the opinions and standards and morals of the gods of this world. I'm talking, this is for the church. Sometimes we got to filter ourselves, and it's not comfortable. But parents do that, right? Every time my kids had to run through the house with knives, I stopped them. It's good parenting, you know, I'm just saying. But let's no longer live by the opinions and standards and morals of the gods of this world, the gods of society, the gods of culture, the gods of spiritual and moral darkness. Let's not live by that anymore. But sometimes we actually fall into it, right? Salt, it's now. It's our turn to be the alternative. I want to jump into Exodus 20. Exodus 20, this is where we're going to start our salt process here this morning. We're going to be in our A. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. I have in here, say it 22 times. I'm not gonna. I don't know what I was thinking. But I do know that alternative living, point numero uno, what's number one? Point numero uno, the biggest point is a slide. Right here. If you're truly going to live a God alternative lifestyle, then God must be first. God must be first. We got to start there. How many places in our life do we got to start there again? That's a big question. If we don't ask ourselves, we got to critically ask ourselves sometimes. Is he first? Like in every area? Like whenever I make any decision about anything in my life, the number one place I go is to pray. And if I can't hear him there, I go into my word. And then I get spiritual counsel before I make that decision. And anything I do that has any significance other than what shoes should I wear today? I went with these because my favorite ones are dirty. But seriously, like, God first. And as Christians, like, obviously, but is it? How often is God first? Sometimes I have to admit, in moments of my life and weakness, I've made other people first because I thought, or I've made a decision that was good, good for me, but not God consulted. Is he first? Be honest with yourself. Ask him. Ask him this. Do you think you're first in my life, God? What's your opinion? Like, I think you're first. But do you think you're first? If you're married, ask your spouse that. Say, am I second in your life? Do you think I make you second? It's a scary question because sometimes we don't want the real answer. But if we don't get a real answer, we'll never really change. Right? I had to have someone say, Pastor, you are chubby. Get moving. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's truth. I got to get moving. I got to get moving. There's stuff to accomplish. I can't let my flesh suit slow me down. I want to look like Ed when I get older. Man, that guy's still fighting weight. How he does it? But you got to be honest with yourself. How about this? Is he the first in your pleasing order? Who do you please first in your life? Who do you really please first in your life? On your order of what's important to get pleasure, is God first in that, but pleases him? I know. Soul. If no, then say start. It's time to start. Right now, it's a great day to go, okay, you're back in first. It's easy to do. You can't go, well, I got to fill out some paperwork. I got to check with the board. Then I'm going to go ask my spouse, and then we're going to get the neighbor's consent. Like, should I start today? No. If you are a born-again Christian and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you serve God, then start today. Get him back in first place. Matthew 22. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Say, check that. All your heart. With all your heart, with all your soul. Say, check it. So with all your passion, God gets all your passion first. Honestly, sometimes I direct it right to the front row. She gets a lot of my passion first sometimes.
Yeah.
Pac-Man just got eaten. It can happen. I dare to say there's probably things in your life that gets your first passion, not God. Yeah, put your stone down. And with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, say, oh gosh. Anyone have a big old work to start there? With all your mind, say, start. Mm-hmm. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. Talk about alternative living. Boom. Talk about alternative living. What if What if the church, say I am the church, what if we just live by that always? How alternative to this world would we look? Do we, in every way, in every choice, in every decision, do we make sure that God is first? If so, that's alternative living at its finest. That's alternative living at its finest. Start right there with the prime directive. Think for a second personally, and I want you to just really think this. What does it look like to make God first in my life? And you know what? I bet you had three things pop into your head. You're like, oh no, I got to work right there. Good. Don't beat yourself up. Got to go to work. That's just going to work. Man, we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. Only Jesus. But if you don't put the work in, you're just going to be salt that's on dirty feet. Right? Dirty-footed salt. Yeah, I could put that picture back up. No, okay, all right. Okay. The application of you and I placing God first in everything changes the world. That particular life-altering situation will change the course of your life. Have you ever made a decision in your life? And I'm talking after your salvation, because that's obvious. It should be obvious. But have you ever made a decision in your life that you know God said to do this, and you did it, and your life changed drastically, and you were shocked by it, and you were blown away, and it made you go, I'm going to trust you again, God. And then it took a while to maybe trust him again. I'm sailing, take me away to where, oh, storm, God, I'm trusting you again. Show up strong. Do it again, God. And our life changed. How about you made a life-altering choice for God and others' lives changed too? My kids have no idea what the hood looks like until they come to church. Just saying. I know, just jokes. It's okay. But that particular alteration will change your life and others' lives forever, man. Is it your time to make kind of that a priority again? Is that time to live alternative than the way you have been? Are we living alternative to the world around us? Maybe today is our start day. God's trying to get salt back in the world again because why? There's erosion needed. There's preservation needed. Life is needed. Real flavors needs real good taste. It's needed, right? It's needed. You were placed here in terra firma, that's earth, for this purpose, right? Say, I'm the church. I'm ready. Displaying Jesus in our lives so they can taste him. Let's go to salt. Deuteronomy. I love this. Deuteronomy 30, 15. The clock's facing the other direction. So you guys are definitely in trouble. Ready for this? Listen closely. That's a problem right there for most folks. Listen closely. Right there. That for most of us is a problem. I have to work on that because I am the church. I got to work on listening closely. I asked my neighbor during the blackout last night his name twice within a 14-second period of time. I didn't pay attention the first time. I didn't pay attention the second time because I don't know what it is. I think about just calling him Brian and see what happens. But he asked me twice too. Neither one of us are listening closely, right? Because we are too worried about everything around us that we didn't listen to what was right in front of us. Anybody? Ooh, that's Google News. Right there. Listen closely. I have set before you today. Here's a stop place. Today is the only time you got. Make a choice each day you get one. Each time you get a day, make this choice. That's what this is saying. Every day that I give you, make this choice. This is God is saying that. I'm going to give you a certain amount of days, and you have no idea how many they are, but I'm going to tell you each and every day, make this choice first. That's what he's saying. Life and prosperity, death and adversity. Oh, man, that seems simple. I mean, if I gave you that choice, right? Man, I got to pick on somebody. Georgie, you ain't been here long. I'll pick it on you. You can handle it, right? He's all right, Pastor, I'll be. I give you a choice. I can execute you today, death or life. What do you want? Boom, good choice. It seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? Life and prosperity, death versus evil. It's so simple, but how often we choose differently and never change. We don't choose execution, but we choose the thing that we know leads to death. The wages of is, how many of those daily choices do we make? Is that an obvious choice or what, though? I command you today, here's a good one, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk, to actually walk, that is to live each and every day in his ways. Pick out a neighbor that looks sad right now. Oh, yeah, I got you, man. Yeah, pick out somebody because you're like, this is a hard message. Ready? Say, it's time to get cracking. Now look back at the other person. You get cracking. I'm getting cracking. I'm getting cracking on some of this stuff. I am. It's time to lead each and every day in his ways and to keep his commandments. Now there's mature comments ahead. Do not listen to his ways like their suggestions. I know. Don't listen to his ways like their suggestions. You know? Like when I say, hey, kids, don't run through here with knives. You know, if you feel good about it, though, go right ahead. I was just giving you a suggestion. But isn't that life? We have choices we know every day where God could be first. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves treating them like suggestions. To keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. Alternative culture in the world today is living God's way, God's commands and God's statutes and God's judgments. That looks way different than the world. So that you, what? Why is God working on us so hard? Why does it matter? So that you will live and multiply. So that the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're in. You want blessings? Everybody pray for blessings in your life. Like you shouldn't. You should if you don't. Please. If you like, I just can't. We'll pray for blessings in my life. You're like, I just can't pray myself blessings and send me a double portion. But I would encourage you, pray for blessings in your life. And if you are a Christian, please raise your hand if you ever prayed for a blessing in your life. Like, Lord, bless me in this. I need something. Please. All right? If that's what we want, blessings, then we should start living this alternative lifestyle from the world so he can give them to us. He can trust us with a blessing. That's what he's saying here, right? Say, start being the alternative. Time to taste good to people. It's hard. It's hard to taste good to people sometimes. Jeff and I had this discussion. We're not always so tasty as we should be. But don't look good and taste bad. People don't like that. People don't like when you look good and taste bad. Neither does the Lord. You know, I have to deal with a problem that I can't stand. I miss real cheese. I miss real cheese bad. It wants to kill me. I don't know what I did to break the relationship a long time ago. I was a big supporter. I thought, like, I'm your number one fan. Me and cheese are tight. Cheese don't think so anymore. So I get this other kind of cheese. It looks like cheese. Tastes like cheese. Sometimes it don't even look like cheese, you know? Imagine you cut into a nice piece of cheese. You're waiting for something, and you get this. I got, yeah. Oh, man, look good on the outside. See the brine, man. Okay. Oh, you got that from, like, Italy or France. It's imported cheese. Yeah. You cut it up, you go, oh. I thought you were something. You were showing me you were something, but I bit into you, and you were not that. Actually, you made me sick. Oh, so I am the church. I got to taste better. Got to taste a little better. Add more salt. You know? Be good salt. Taste good to people. Do the tings. Say tings. Do the tings, yes, mom. Do the tings, mom. Nana, you started this week. You put these little babies up, you know, with all the Jamaican colors. It's like, Nana, stop that. You're getting me. I was working on the message. I'm like, oh. Yeah, do the tings. Right. Cultivate Jesus' substance in you. All right? Go be salt for them. Here's some Old Testament drop, and this is where we're going to linger a minute. Nehemiah 4, 7 through 8. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdites, pause, let's just symbolize these folks as negative, trash-talking, past enemies, relatives, or friends. Anybody have any trash talking past relatives, enemies, or friends? It says they heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on. They're like, what? Remember last week? They're threatening them. Don't you do that. Don't you do what God said. You're an idiot if you do what God said. We're going to come beat you up, do what God said. Even a little fox would step on that wall. You are wasting your time. Right? Recall the people had a mind to work, though. That's how we ended the scripture. You remember that scripture that we left off on? The people were doing the work by closing the breaches and the holes in the wall. Okay? How about this? They were fixing the holes in their boundaries between the enemy and the life they're supposed to live. They, the enemies, God's culture, were very angry, it says. Very angry. You're fixing the holes in the boundaries between destructive, erosive culture and attacking culture in yourself? How dare you live a different way? You can't have boundaries. How dare you? They were very angry. You know what my response to that is? I heard my mom. If you don't know my mom, she was tough. You know, I heard my mom say, tough noogies. I don't know exactly. Tough noogies. If something was hard, you know, suck it up. Tough noogies. Deal with it. Oh, yes, ma'am. Tough noogies. And so what I hear, they were very angry for me doing what God asked me to do. And I went, tough noogies. Tough noogies. I don't care. God's people put a big old boundary up, a God boundary in their life, and they decided they're going to live differently. They made a decision, we're going to live differently. And they determined to make changes to please God. And I don't give two Ammonites about what other people say. I don't give two Ammonites about what other people say. Tough noogies. They all conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause it disturbance in it. It sounds like the weekend in my neighborhood. It is a disturbance, man. There's a disturbance in the force. And doesn't it ever have that in your life? You just start rolling along and you've got focus. Nothing's going to distract me. And something distracted you. Why? Because there was an actual disturbance you had to deal with. You're away on vacation. You get the phone call. I don't want to bother you, but your house is flooding. Oh, man. But enjoy yourself. You just deal with it. You get back. Uh-huh. Okay. I won't think about it at all, you know. Uh-huh. They conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and cause a disturbance. But we prayed. Man, if that was the first response, what alternative living we'd have? My first response is fight or flight most of the time before I pray. I got to work on it. I'm a fight or flight. I'm not a freeze guy. I'm a fight or flight guy, 100%. And I'm mostly a fight guy. I flight if I feel like I'm trying to do the best thing for the person in front of me. That's my natural response. But wouldn't it be great? And I'm better now. Like 75% of the time, I'm a prayer now. But I got 25% improvement to go. They're attacked and taunted on every side. And what did they do? They're building their wall and they prayed. But we prayed to our God. They decided to live an alternative life. We prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up guard. Wait a second. We prayed to our God, and we set up guard, say, you got to do your part. You got to do your part. Like, I just prayed, it'll be fine. No, there's other things in our wall fixing that we got to do. I just prayed, it'll be fine. Well, yeah, pray, but did he ask you to do something to protect yourself from falling down again? Did he ask you to protect yourself and the people in your life from the enemy? Did he ask you to fix something? But I prayed. Excellent. Go to God. But I guarantee you he gave you a guard too. We set up a guard against them day and night. Living an alternate life by God's standards means being vigilant and on guard against the enemy that attacks you both day and night. You got to be vigilant. He'll get in you. I was telling the guys, my Facebook, I was scrolling up and I got this ad. And usually I just X out of it. I was like, stupid thing. But it came up again, but it was a little more intense. So I go, I'm going to report it. I go, report it. I'm going to be all those guys. I'm going to form. Like, someone's going to call me. It was three pushes of a button. And it took me, but I did it. You know why? Because day and night, you got to fight that. Because someday, what if I'm in a weak moment and that thing tries to attack me again? Whose fault is that? I prayed, but I didn't set a guard. I didn't set a guard against my life because it could pop up whenever it wants to again. I'm trying to be practical. Why? Because it takes us down all the time, something. What are we not on guard against when we just prayed about? George, you're with me. If you're failing or you're being attacked every time blank, then maybe it's time to be prepared. How about every time you go to Aunt Hibbity Bibbity's? You're going to Aunt Hibbity Bibbity's and you end up fighting and not sober. All right? Every time you go to Aunt Hibbity Bibbity's, it's a fight and it's sober. It's crazy. The one possible guard against that happening to you in your life is to avoid going to Aunt Hibbity Bibbity's so you can handle it. Sounds simple, right? But how many of us have walked into a Hibbity Bibbity again? Dang! Walmart, you caught me off guard again. I should have brought Judas' bracelet with me. Lord. Then the leaders of Judas said, the strength of the burden bearers. What? The strength of the burden bearers. The strength of the burden bearers is failing. Ruh-roh, Shaggy. The workers that have been working are being burnt out from carrying all the weight themselves. There are people that just carry weight, and we want them to carry weight in our lives that we should be carrying. God asked us to carry certain things, but we keep trying to get other people to carry that weight. We wonder, why is Jeff so burned out, man? Jeff's rolling. He's carrying my burdens, his burdens for the burdens, and makes the church better. But why is Jeff laying on the ground? Can't handle the load. We'll pick it off his shoulders, man. It was part yours. And there was such rubble. We ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. AKA, the real workers are getting burnt out and they can't do it alone. Our enemy said they will not now know or see us until we are among them. Ever have that happen to you? Ever have an enemy sneak up on you? You didn't expect it. Ever have someone you run with and they did you dirty and you never saw it coming? I had friends. We had a loyal group. But there's one friend, he kept his girlfriend, and he kept having problems. Right? Because he was the problem. He didn't prioritize that. Every time you get swept away, we're like, dude, you're a problem. I have friends that I've lost their lives. Lost their lives because they didn't see the enemy coming because they had them in their pack. I loved them with all my heart. I put friends in the ground before 21 years old. Out in Florence. Raymond Smurf Robles. Died of an overdose right in that desert because of the pack he was running with. He was a good guy. Biggest heart I ever saw. I was the only kid from New York in that whole town when I moved there, and everyone wanted to fight me. Just by walking in, because my uncle was a cop and a karate guy and kind of rough, so they just want to fight me. And this kid came rolling in and showed me love before Jesus, friendship. His heart was bigger than the outdoors, and I loved him. When I got saved, I called back home, and I went back home, and I got a call one day. I said, Raymond's dead. Raymond's dead. Yeah, we were out in the desert where we shouldn't be doing what we shouldn't have been doing. And he couldn't handle what we were doing, and it killed him. That's not an uncommon story in my life. Because we didn't let the enemy get right up next to us. We didn't put a guard up, and we didn't pray. We didn't ask God a direction. It's time to rebuild the walls in our life. Anybody got boundaries? You know, I got to fix that. I got to fix that thing, right? Because I'm the church now. Our enemies, they will not know. They will see it, not see us until we're among them. We'll kill them and put a stop to the work. The enemy of your soul hates you putting in the work. The enemy of your soul hates you putting in the work. Because if you do your part, you know what he knows? That God will do his. He knows for sure if you do your part, God's going to hold up his end of the bargain. And that's tough for him. Finally, right? If we pull our own salty weight and we do our own salty work and God shows up, the enemy's doomed in our life in that area. There's things in my life that, by the grace of God, don't struggle me anymore. I don't think about crushing under my feet because of the grace of God. Because I kept beating it down until it submitted to the authority of Christ. I became dead to it.
What if we handled every one of our stuff that way? Every one of them. Every one of them. Right? God showed up.
He said, he can't do that. He did. I love when they said, God can't do that, and he does things. God can't raise the dead. We had Richard Cook got raised the dead in his body. They pronounced him dead at the hospital. And our prayer of faith was, Lord, please raise him. Boop, his vitals came back out. And we all looked at each other like, what? God did that? I was like praying, and now Lazarus and stuff, and I've heard stories, but I'll never not have faith again. I let holes get in my wall. Anybody? Yeah. It's one reason the enemy wants you to start to stop, because he knows God's going to do stuff. Another reason, I got a slide for you. The enemy wants you to not start. I think I do. I'll read it anyways. Yeah. What you never start, you never do. What you never start, you never do. So if you just don't start, the enemy don't have to worry about you. If you don't start, well, at least just the hole in my wall will just be, you know, just a little hole. No, the enemy's going to make that a bigger hole. He's going to take that wall down, and he's going to capture a generation, because that's what he does. That's what he does. The enemy of your soul doesn't care that you don't start. God's salt being worked into you is super important. You know, God also wants us showing off a little bit, showing off his salt in your life. I mean, there's so many amazing stories. I wish I could tell all your guys' stories to each other. Like, I really wish I do. Like, the bubbles would pop over your head. I could push the Andrew button and be whoop, you know? You're like, dude, okay. Here's the men bubble, whoop, you know? Dr. Heidi bubble, whoop. Why? Because you'd be so encouraged by what God did in their lives and what he's still doing in their lives. And it's because I know their stories. They chose at a hard time an alternative way that the world would say, don't do that. They did it God's way, and their life began to change. It's time to be the alternative salt for him. It's time to be the alternative salt for them, actually. Nehemiah continued, 4:9. When the Jews who lived near them came, they said to us 10 times repeatedly, like they're trying to intimidate them, right? From every place you turn, they will come up against us. Say, let the enemy be the enemy. All right. You be God's warrior. Let the enemy do what he does. Don't worry what he's doing. Do what we're supposed to be doing. I get distracted all the time. I'm trying to stop the enemy when I should be starting me. By starting me, stops the enemy. Some things I need to start, but I've been trying to stop when I should just start so it can stop. Does that make sense? So I can do it again. Start to stop. Stop to start. It's the season, right? The Jews who lived near them came to 10 times from every place. So I stationed armed men behind the wall in the lowest places at the open positions where it was least protected. God's looking for guys he can trust to protect his people and not let the enemy come busting in. I talked to the men yesterday about that point. And I stationed the people in families. And I stationed the people and families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Alternative living takes awareness that there's a combat that we're in. And it's sometimes short right next to us. It's a sword. And sometimes we do have to look out the horizon. That's coming. Aunt Hibbity Bibbies, it's Thanksgiving. I see her in the distance, Hibbity Bibbity. I need to pray. Make me salty. And I will put up a boundary. We will leave by 7:15. Launch the arrow. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to succeed. Right. When I saw their fear, sitting up for God's alternative ways can be threatening. Right. And you know what I love about the bows and the spears and the families? This little thing came to me. You should equip our families with the tools to fight the enemy in their own lives. He said he called them by families. And it's if you're a parent today, one of our jobs is to equip the next generation to fight their own battles in their own lives, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually. But I think there's a whole generation that's not been well equipped, and we see what happened. I feel like the family of God's coming back to that. It's time to equip the next generation. That's why I love our children's church teachers. They're on point, man. I love our children's churches. They are on point. They're putting stuff in, thinking about that, right? When I saw their fear, so here he is. He's saying, look at the enemy's coming, and they're telling the enemy's going to come, and what are we going to do? He says, when I saw their fear, I stood. When I saw their fear, I stood. So I am his church. I stood and said to the nobles and officials and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Are you so afraid to live different? Am I so afraid to live different? We're afraid to look odd for God. Be real with yourself, a key, right now. There are certain things I'm not doing, I know, because I'm going to stand out in the crowd in a way I don't want to deal with it. That's hard, isn't it? But this is like real Christianity. Rubber meets the road. We got to make traction. If we keep doing the same thing we've always been doing, the insanity of it's going to drive us into the ground. God's upping our salt factor. And he's not picking on us. He's going, I'm trying to make Jesus just come out of you. Why? Because the world needs to taste a better church. Right? Are you afraid to live differently? Is it time that you stood? It's not on there, so don't worry about pulling up, Jess. But in Matthew 10:28, it says, Jesus says, don't fear the people that kill the body, fear only God. Right? It says, do not be afraid of them, as he stood. Confidently remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And with courage from him, fight for your brothers. Man, I thought he was going to say, for me. You ever hear that should pray for one of the night be healed? When you're down and out and under attack, pray, seek God. And then pick a brother or a sister in your life and you pray for them just as fervently as you'd want them praying for you. You want to live an alternative lifestyle? You'll see that begin to change things, right? It will. Confidently remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and with courage from him, fight for your brothers, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, fight for your homes. And like nothing before, the men of God are being called in this season. They're not being picked on, they're being called up. They're saying, who's ready to stand? I'm looking for men that will stand against a culture. And they're going to say terrible things about them. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter what they do. Doesn't matter that they think. Doesn't matter what their opinion is. If I know God asked me to do it, then it is absolutely time for me to stand. Why? Because it's for my life, and I got a whole family behind me. And I've got the sisters of God, and the women of God, and the children of God, and the sons of God, and my brothers and my sisters. Man of God, it is time to stand, because culture's asking us to back up. And it wants to intimidate us. That's not the season to be intimidated. Now, when our enemies heard that, we knew about their plot against them, that God had frustrated their plan, we returned to the wall. Just keep building. Just keep building. Check this out, though. Each one to his own work. Each one to his own work. You know, you and I have work to do that he gave each of us to do. And sometimes in life, in the workplace, in the church, we're very well of the work other people have to do. But he gave us each a work to do. Like healthy individuals make healthy marriages. Healthy marriages make healthy families. Healthy families make healthy churches. Healthy churches change the world. He cannot start the change in the world process till us as individuals go, it's time to stand. It's time to fix my wall. It's time I'm all in. I will love the Lord, the God, with all my heart, soul, and strength. And he will get every decision first, and he will become first. And I will live alternative to the world around me. And I'll be as kind and as gentle as Jesus I can. But when it comes to being pushed around, I will stand for my brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't matter what comes against me. That's the church he's looking for. Say, I am that church. I am that church. You are that church. I'm not talking our building location. I'm talking I, you. You don't go out to your job and be New Season. Please go out and be Jesus. You're his church. People ask me all the time, where do you pastor? Zombie track on there. You know, zombie track. Just go. From that day on, half my servants carried on the work, while the other half held spears, shields, bows, and breastplates. Birds of a feather coming together. Alternative living. And the captains were behind the whole house of Judah, and they were rebuilding the wall, and those who carried burdens loaded themselves. You know the work you need to do. Don't wait for someone to tell you to do it. Man, I watched these guys. It took five guys from a certain company to fix a hole the market had done in 20 minutes. They said five dudes are standing around going, and then they decided to tell Dr. Heidi how she should paint the fence. Bro, you're here for the hole, man. Get your job done so I can have it safe for people to come in here. It's kind of like how we do things. Kind of how we do things. But this time he says, don't wait for someone to say, hey, work on this, or hey, Sharon needs help, or Jody needs help, or Sam needs help. And you see it, ask God, but don't wait for someone to say, you know, you ought to help Sam. Why, he just fell down. Yeah, but I'm going to get communion. Get out of the way, Sam. Rough. But each of us has something we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to load ourselves with that. Because when other people put loads on you, you can't bear them. When other people put loads on you, you can't bear them. They're not your loads to bear. You can't. So everyone worked with one hand and held a weapon with the other. Everyone worked with one hand and held a weapon with the other. I need a shirt. Everyone worked with one hand and held a weapon with the other. Hard facts. Living God's lifestyle in your life is hard. It takes work sometimes. There is stuff I'm still working on. Man, I had a worse day this past week, and that wasn't the emergency room day. And that was terrible. I still got boo-boos. But before that, I had a meltdown like I hadn't had in 20 years. I wanted to fight a bear, and I liked my chances. Kirsten saw me. She's like, Dad, you go to the mountain and pray. I'm going to pray, you know. It's hard work sometimes. It's always under attack and always under sabotage. The enemy will never leave it alone. So if you just work one day and fix the hole and you put a weapon in hand to protect that hole, he's going to come back and knock another hole. Every single time. We got to fix the hole and then protect the hole. And then pray over our brothers and sisters' openings. Gaps. Their lives. Right? Living godly life means being all in. Heart, mind, and soul. That's alternative living, right? It means us being able to be ready for the work where we are. It means upping our prayer game. It's our alternative living, right, Jeff? We challenged each other the other day. It starts tomorrow. We're fasting something to pray extra for everybody here. That's something we decided to do. He knew what I was going to talk about. He said, well, we need to do something. I said, yeah, we do, but I wasn't going to challenge the man. He goes, well, challenge me. Let me have a load. You don't got to give me a load, Pastor. I'll take a load. What kind of load can I carry? It's a prayer load, and I'll fast with you if you want to carry a prayer load. I got you. That's how brotherhood works, right? Romans 12, 1 through 2. Say it's time. Man, it's time to salt up. It's time to start doing what he asks. It's time to start his works and his ways in our life right now. Say, start. Yes, Lord. Romans 1, 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, he's talking to Christians, I urge you all by the mercies of God to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. I always get caught up in that holy part. It discourages me. Ever read that and go, oh, I can't do that. Come on, everyone, you read that and you go, oh, I got that's easy. Your holiness is not your perfection. Holiness is not your perfection. I can't say it enough, only Jesus. We keep trying to beat ourselves up when we're not perfect. Stop giving our excuses for not trying, because holiness is surrendering to God so he can work through you and work those things in our lives so we can look more like him as a reflection. So we should do that. We shouldn't be trying to perfect each other or ourselves, right? Holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, your logical, your intelligent act of worship. Head nod, somebody. Don't be conformed to this world any longer. Don't head anybody. Do not be conformed to this world any longer. Do not be conformed to this world any longer. Do not be conformed to this world any longer. Say, arg, he sees us. Arg, he sees us. Arg. Do not be conformed to this world any longer. Say, start being his alternative. Saul.
It's time, right?
Do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values, customs, but be transformed.
Be transformed and progressively changed. Progressively changed as you mature spiritually. No head nodding here. But come on, God's talking to me. There are things that I got to mature in my walk in God. I got to mature in my response. I got to stop acting like an upset 12-year-old. I got to stop being jealous over stupid stuff. I got to stop thinking of myself first before my brother. I got to stop. I don't know what your blank is, going to Hibbity Bibbies. I don't know. Progressively change as you mature. How? How does that happen? How do I progressively mature? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Anyone desire that? Great. It says, well, focus on godly values and ethical attitudes. You want to renew your mind? Focus on godly values and ethical attitudes. You want to renew what the world is trying to cause us to live in. You want to live an alternative God lifestyle, then you have to look at those things in our life and focus on those things. Say, godly values and ethical attitudes. I got to know what God says about that. So that you may prove for yourselves what's the will of God. AKA, do what he says. Boom, you're right in the middle of the will. You want to be in God's will? Do what he says. I don't know what God's will is. Well, do what he says and you'll be right in it. What is God's will for my life? Do what he says. Immediately. Now. Start. Keep doing it. How do I know you're in God's will? If you do that, you will be. And the world will change. And he'll bless you. And he'll multiply you. And he'll impact lives of others.
Right.
The will of God is that we would, which is good and acceptable and perfect, his plan and his purpose for you. I have a video to lighten the mood. Oh, okay, with volume.
Or you're not, and you're delusional, and you're not as strong as you think you are. And if that's the case, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
It's a check yourself. Yeah, it's a check yourself moment, dude. It's a check yourself season. It's okay. I have to check myself all the time. I got to check myself. Why? Because I know I can get off track. I can get a smidgen to the left or a smidgen to the right or a smidgen stubborn. Anybody a smidgen stubborn? Harold, you're way more than a smidgen. All right. John 8:42, Jesus said to them, this is mature content from Jesus. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love and recognize me. For I came from God and out of his very presence and have arrived here. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he who sent me. Why do you misunderstand what I'm saying? Is it because your spiritual ears are deaf and you're unable to hear the truth of my word? Look, even when you say that softly, it stings. This is going to sting a whole lot more. And I practice, so how do I say this real nice? And it just comes across sarcastic. So I'm just going to read it. You are of your father, the devil. And it is your will to practice the desires of your father. Say, eek. Ouch. Time to check ourselves. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks what is natural to him. For he is a liar and the father of lies and hath truth. Wow, it looks like our society has been infected by that. And definitely our politics. Because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Matthew 24:45. Who then is faithful? Who then is the faithful and wise servant? Here's more mature content, but it's by me this time. So this could sound bad. I don't know how to make it sound good. But this is how I saw it. What? There has to come a time we stop being God's foolish son. There has to come a time we stop being his idiot kid. There has to come a time we stop being his lazy daughter and his lukewarm. There has to come a time. It says there's a time to put away childish things. Because if we don't, he says, then you'll be living under a different father. If you live what I consider foolish, you'll have a different father, and that father will take you to a different place.
Man, if we don't hear that sometimes, I mean, it's 20 years since I spoke on this, but I feel like it's the season to go, I'm getting ready then. It's time. I need a weapon back in my hand. I'm tired of those holes in my wall. I'm going to do some work. And I'm going to pray for Jody's work because I know what Jody's work is. He told me what it is. We got similar work to do. And I can pray for that. Right? We're working together. Like one of the things I love about worship up front, when the team's busting and they're just lost in the song of the Lord, and Miley's looking this way, and Pastor Jody's crying, and I don't know. God's just moving, and I'm up here with the guys, and it just feels like I just swear, there's no place I'd rather be. Why? Because I'm with the people of God, and we're focused on one thing, Him, and we're asking Him to change our lives and make us salty together, and we have a desire as a family to go out and change the world. That's what we're talking about. Who then is faithful? Who is the wise servant? Whom his master has put in charge of his household? What do you say? He put us in charge of his household. That's what he does with his kids. If you can't trust your kids with their household, who can you trust? He put his kids in charge of his household to give the others in the house. God is trusting that we are all going to grow up enough to give and no longer be receivers. To give emotionally to others in the house. To give spiritually to others in the house. To give physically to others, financially in others' house. Prayer, others, prepare to be an exporter of salt this year. That you're a salt export this year. Not just Emily, Kaylee. Not just Ed, Drew. Salt exporter. To give others in the house their food and supplies at the proper time. Blessed is the faithful servant when the master returns and finds him doing so. So this is my close up here. I think it's the season we check with God, and it's the season to do things differently. I think it's the season of doing like He said to do, not like I want to do. Believe me, you don't know how much that stings for me to do what He said to do and not what I want to do. And what I want to do isn't bad. I'm not talking about sin. What I want to do is an amazing plan that I think will help change the world for Jesus. And I thought He birthed it in me. So what up? He said, that's not what I'm asking you to do right now. I'm asking you to be in Apache Junction, a New Season Christian Fellowship, and to say whatever I tell you to say, no matter what anybody thinks about it, and try to love better than you have. Yes, sir. It's the season to do things differently. It's the time to live in His ways like maybe we haven't in a while. It's time to be the alternative salt that the world needs. Healthy salt. It doesn't cause sickness, but it causes preservation, right? This series is to preserve our life and to bring others a good taste of Jesus. You know, I can't have the bite me taste Jesus shirt. I get it. But it should be how I live. Right. So, say I'm the church, and I'm going to get salty again. And if you need prayer for saltiness, good saltiness in your life, or you know you got a hole in somewhere in your boundary walls, and that you just know the enemy's taunting you about it, and you need someone to stand with you, you need someone to fight with you, hold a weapon because you can't right now. But eventually you're going to realize you're going to have to pick up your own weapon. Each of us have a work to do. And it says they worked with one hand and they held a weapon with another. But maybe you're like, my hand hurts so much, Pastor, I can't even think of what a weapon is. I'm going to invite you to come up and get prayer. I'm not going to shout at you. I'm going to have Pastor Jody play the guitar. You'll probably have Dr. Heidi pray for folks if she feels led to. But it's not for here. It's for here. I'm not even going to ask you unless you want to talk about it. But there's something, you know, I have a hole in my wall. And I've been losing some saltiness. And it's been about me, maybe not about everybody else. And I definitely know God said to do this. I'm not. I definitely know He said stop that. I'm not. And I know it's time to start. And I also know He wants to use me to be a good taste of Jesus in the world. And I'm telling you guys, I've tasted most of your lives. And it's wonderful. I can't imagine what you're going to look like even more tasty. Some of you are some of the most incredible Christians I've ever been around. And I'm telling you the truth. We have some of the most incredible believers in this place. I am so blessed to be the pastor here. I am blown away by you. I can't imagine what you look like when you're saltier. I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know what Apache Junk is going to have to deal with when you're like that. So if you'd like prayer, just you can stand in your seat or come fill the altar. Just surrender to him. I want us to be birds of a feather. And I want us to make each other priority in prayer. And it starts right here. So if you want prayer, you can be dismissed in the midst of this prayer. Or you can stay and linger. But if you raise your hand, I want to make sure I see your face. If you know you need prayer, just stir your hand up for me. I see you, Georgie. I got you. When you're done praying for you, it's a new assignment. Yeah. This is one of your new assignments. I told him already. I said, Mark's going to come in, and he's getting prayer if we need more salt. He's got some holes in his wall. But I'll tell you what. I've seen this guy surrender to the alternative power of Jesus Christ in his life. And you couldn't get a better mentor. You couldn't get a better mentor. So, Father, I pray whatever holes are in their lives, whatever place the enemy asks them to taunt them and ask them to stop, and where they feel stuck, Lord, and where they don't even know what weapon to grab, we stand with them. Well, I got a weapon in my hand this morning, Father, and it's you. And I ask in the name of Jesus, you repair every hole, Father God, every taunt of the enemy with silence, Lord. And this time next year, Lord, their salt would preserve other people's lives. There would be a trail of people behind these two men of God that you did such things in their life. There would be a trail of people that they salted for you. And no weapon formed by the enemy against them would prosper. That our brothers, Father, would do amazing exploits in your name this year. And where they have hurts, needs, and damages, they would draw away to you and you would heal those areas, Lord God. Cause those wounds to be fountains. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, this morning, I know there's a lot of us that need a lot of us need more of you. So, Lord, this season, I know the work's not always hard. I was expecting digging those rocks. It'd take me a lot longer. And I started the work and it went quick. I'm asking you to do a quick work in us this year, Lord. Time seems so fast. We're staring at the horizon, Lord. I'm asking wherever we needed work this year, it'll be done quickly, efficiently, and well. And Lord, I pray you bless New Season Christian Fellowship and those churches around us, Lord God, where the men of God and women of God are standing in the gap. Lord, we stand in the gap for them. We stand in the gap for it's not about New Season, Apache Junction. It's about the church of God, wherever it exists, Father. We stand for the church this year, in Jesus' name. Amen.